have future wager at 50 to 1.
You do.
I got another 25 to win.
If I don't get the first leg, Warren, I just walk home. I'm just straight out the door. I'm gone.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to a big Friday edition of the Two Units Podcast. It is a big show today, Mornington Cup weekend. Their standalone meeting down that away. We've got Randwick, which is almost day three of the championships, we could call it. It's just a nice Group 1 card, and it is a morbidly obese edition of the specs. We have specs for days, Sultan.
It's fat. It's unhealthy, but it's good for you. It's an oxymoron because if you're listening last week, it wouldn't be the only thing that's fat, mate. Would be your wallet. It was a big week for the units last week, and I'm keen again to punt this Saturday.
Did you headline us? Like, I felt personally that I had a really good weekend last weekend, and I couldn't hold a candle to you. You were just plucking them left, right, and center. It was outstanding tipping.
It was one of those days, and I'm still looking back on it. I'm like, well, if only Blake McDougall just got active a bit earlier on Colesridge at 20 bucks.
You can never be happy if that.
Come on, man.
You messaged me with one of these going, geez, he could have just been a little bit more. And I'm like, come on, mate. You're plus 24 units for the day. Just chill out a little bit.
This fresh, delicious, tasty, meaty, turkey-filled, cold-cut combo. I eat three every day to help keep me strong.
It is the supper, and we like to celebrate great performances, and it's in your honor, and you're already at the head of the table after last week's tipping performance. But what else are you sort of bringing along this week?
Sort of along those lines, mate. The units were contacted by Moe the other day, and I don't speak of the epicenter of Central Gippsland. I speak of the Museum of Equine Intelligence. And they've actually parcelled up our discussion surrounding the Queen Elizabeth Stakes, and they want to display it at the Museum of Equine Intelligence as an artifact for all to listen to for hundreds of years to come.
If you want to go back and have a look at the sort of the precursor to the Queen Elizabeth, and hear Sultan and I just unpack that race, I urge you to go back. It would have gone viral had our phones not have run out of storage for filming purposes.
Yeah, unfortunately, they call me screenshot Strelaw, and I had no storage. But it was good for the social media team because they would have had a busy Saturday. But the museum reached out to us. We're going to accept their invite as well. So the Museum of Equine Intelligence can come to the supper.
Yeah, it's a great invite. Hey, I'm inviting fake Tom Brown to the supper. So I don't know if you've seen this Twitter or this X account.
Yeah, I'm all over
but
it.
But he is sucking in some suckers big time. Yeah. And I live for this sort of stuff. People going, sort of goes with really outlandish comments. I think one of them was around a footy club that have got PETA on as their major sponsor and will only be selling plant-based food at all home games. But people get fully sucked into this. They quote it up or they screenshot it and send it to their group chats and go, can you believe this?
Some reputable people are quoting it up. They need to have a look at themselves. I think now it's getting to the point where some people are purposefully buying into it to then draw attention to themselves. There's one account, it's like Carlton News Stats or whatever. The guy is an absolute wanker. And I swear he gets sucked in all the time. I feel like now he's doing it on purpose.
But he's
very active, fake Tom Brown.
It's all about those analytics. They're sucking us in and they got him. But fake Tom Brown, come have a seat next to the informed Sultan.
Well, some of the people that are getting sucked in, there's a word that I might use to describe them. And I want to bring this word itself to the supper because I'm using it regularly of late. And I'm getting off on calling people nincompoops. Have you ever used the word nincompoop?
It's not in the vernacular. It's not in the vocab. I've not pressed on with that one too often. Is it a?
I feel like you need it. It's just a great derogatory term. It's a foolish or stupid person. But, you know, someone calls you a nincompoop, you're not going to start a fight over it. So it's just a good low-level insult and a funny word that I feel like needs to come into the vernacular a bit more regularly in Australia.
Give it 10 years, you'll get cancelled for calling someone an incompoop.
Oh, probably.
No doubt.
That goal regulation size of one!
Oh, you will listen to every damn word I have to
eating those finger paintings you bring home and they suck.
I'll come.
Pack your nags time. Michael Hickmott. You familiar with the South Australian-based trainer, Mickey Hickmott?
Back to plenty of winners in his colours. Jess Eaton.
Eating on, yeah, happy days. He's had a bit of a tough journey over to the Caulfield races this week. He had to pay $16.20 for chips and a Red Bull at the track. We can put up one of the greatest discussions around racing, Pride of Jenny. Many people can on platforms and it'll get like 4 likes. He's put up a Red Bull and some hot chips for $16.20 and it's got 62,000 impressions, 2,100 engagements. These are the big issues in racing, Sultan. They need to be sorted out, these prices. It seems like things might not be going as smooth at Michael Hickmott Bloodstock, perhaps.
It is pretty harsh, $16 for chips and a Red Bull.
What's a Red Bull cost, though? They're probably bloody $10. They've got that much crap in them.
Yeah. Well, it's not the best lunch either, is it?
That's the other thing.
If you've got a runner in the first and the last, then, you might want to get a salad sandwich in there at some stage.
Oh, no. The big Japster who we love, the Yulong Jap, he actually has a list of tracks that are the best to order Uber Eats from as well. So, the Japster knows his food. He actually rated, Jappy, I spoke to him once, he rated Victoria's Best Parma, the Hardiman's Hotel, which is a stone's throw from the two-unit studio.
Yeah, apparently the worst Parma in the whole wide world is on... What island do they run that kangaroo, that miner's rest?
King Island.
King Island, yeah, apparently worst Parma ever. Yeah. Shout out to all those at King Island. We're actually trying to get a gig over there for next year. Can you cut that out?
Yeah, I might have to cut that out, no doubt.
Hey, I was watching some of the Masters the other week. I'm not a big golf follower, but I was all over my man Ludwig Åberg and the
Did
final
you have some
round.
Big futures? What was going on? I was in the golf chat.
I just backed him at $34. Okay. Our mate Timmy Terrelgan, square toes Timmy. Tipped him and I looked at the world rankings and, you know, he'd shot up with a rocket. I thought, first Masters, this guy could go right, $34. But anyway, I digress, but that's why I was watching. But I heard this grab from a post-play interview.
Jace, a couple of rounds with Mike Tyson there. That golf course is playing pretty tough, eh?
Yeah, it is. It's tough when you're hitting a little bit wide too.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure around at the Masters can be compared to getting in a boxing ring with Mike Tyson just because it's a little bit windy. And he follows it up saying, yeah, it really is like a round with Mike Tyson, especially if you hit it left off the tee.
Yeah, it's a good point. There's probably some better analogies that you can use instead of, golf's a tough game.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure it's not tough on that. It's not tough on that level, is it? It's probably a bit more mental than physical, I would have thought.
It's definitely mental. And that's why I stopped playing for a number of years. The temperament just wasn't quite there.
English literature, U.S. presidents, my wife, the tramp, burning dog poo and the human response, reflections of society and literature.
Reflections of society and literature.
It is time for the Stewards Room. It's back. It's had a bit of an absence.
Eric.
Eric's back, the big rat. And we like to take questions from the unit army in the Stewards Room. And they came in thick and fast on the Instagrams. So I'm going to kick off here with Baxter. He wants to know, Stultz, is Pride of Jenny's run in the Queen Elizabeth the best you've ever seen?
Was it the Anchorman's dog that texts that in?
Baxter.
I love a bit of recency bias, and it's the greatest thing I've seen in my whole entire life in racing. It was absolutely brilliant. Of course, having Baxter, it's much funner to watch, but it was just an absolute spectacle. I loved everything about it, and it just made me feel good about racing.
Yeah, I'm the same. And I also thought it was great. I was away in Perth on the weekend, and I was with guys that didn't know anything about racing, and I had them asking me and inquisitive about it. So people that don't like racing, not interested in having a punt, going, hey,
that's a good point.
What do you think of this? What about this? I've always wondered why horses don't do this more often in races.
Yeah, yeah.
And all these sort of questions. And it was really basic stuff, and it's just amusing.
I like that.
Mm. Nick Bodo, he wants to know, have you accepted Ray Magnerio's friend request yet?
Unless he changes his display picture to an artificial intelligence MILF, then I'm just not going to accept it. he could suck me in, some sort of bot, and I might. But as long as it's a photo of a horse, he's just not getting a look at it.
That's true.
Our mate, Reid McHugh, a big supporter of the show, Reid. Mm. What's your guilty pleasure in punting? A cheeky three-horsed box quinella, perhaps?
Yeah, that's his sort of example there. I probably don't really have one. The one thing I like to do every Saturday when I do my quaddies, in the last leg, I like to just, regardless of form, I just throw it out the window for one selection in the last and just pick the fattest odds in the last leg. So if I do get through, my approximates, so if I'm three down in the quaddie, my approximates are enormous, even if I give that run a none.
I like that. I like having a first four in group ones, like feature races, group ones. Like when I bet on the Melbourne Cup, I throw every single rule and everything that I do for the whole year out the window. And
you have to win that race.
Yeah. Well, I always bet the winner, but
here he is.
Like I have my win bets, but I just have that, like I set aside, you know, way more than what I'd normally spend on a race just to have exotics, box first fours, standout first fours, trifectas. You're basically trying to win the lottery.
Mm.
That race would be my guilty pleasure. I with love punting.
That. Yeah. No, that's great. We got one here from Jack Blakey. He wants to know, if Saltz was stuck on an island and could only have one item, what would it be?
It's an interesting one. You know, you could take your laptop, but then, you know, you don't have your charger. What good's that?
What's oh, good point?
Well, you could take a bottle of lube, but then you don't. But then what for?
I didn't see that coming.
That runs out?
Yeah.
It's the, I don't know, maybe Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, yes. That's AI. She's almost AI.
Yeah.
Good one.
Hey, Lockie has sent this one in footy. It's a good one for you because it's quite relevant to this weekend. You're doing Collingwood, Port Adelaide. Mm. I'm actually filthy Collingwood got a Saturday game because I'm going to be sitting in the stand. And it's not like Collingwood is some minnow club where there's 20,000 there and it's easy to get on the internet. When you're at the G and there's 75,000, your apps get skippy and it's hard to watch the races and I struggle with it.
I thought the MCG might have given you access to their staff Wi-Fi
by now. Well, if you don't mind sending it over. But so I handle it by going to the footy and then just watching the races the whole time on my phone and peeping up at the ground every now and then. How do you handle punting when you've got a Saturday game?
Yeah, it's just an absolute set and forget afternoon. Mm. I actually don't mind it. Like it's sometimes when you have a Saturday night game, there's a lot of emotional energy that's spent throughout the day and you can, you know, you need to just only watch the races you got bets in.
Yeah.
But you don't have a choice. So the phone goes in the locker and you finish and you get back to your car. And then I get the green app open and I hide
the results.
I shield the results and I'll watch 20 races underneath the MCG in my car tomorrow at about 6 p.m.
On the staff Wi-Fi.
On the staff Wi-Fi.
I actually, we'll chat about that later.
Right, I'll share the code. You know how it comes up, share password with you, mate?
Yeah, I like that.
We'll do that. Hey, this is an absolute corker, and this has to be the winner that falls into the stewards room this weekend. And we got an email from Josh, just straight into the inquiries email, and this particular member of the unit army loves a feud more than anyone. The foot fits in a feud of 24. It's it's huge. It's gone global.
It's global. It's the biggest thing that's happened in racing.
This wasn't even a question. It just landed in our mailbox and it had the subject title of "Enjoy the Mix, Fellas."
I get a tweet from one Nick Foot. Listen here. Two or three people tune in. Two or three people tune in. You let the big boys play. You let the big boys play. Listen here. And I said no bet. Listen here. Don't ever, ever come for me. Don't ever, ever come for me. Don't ever, ever come for me. Listen here. I wouldn't let you pick up my bag. Listen here. I wouldn't let you pick up my bag. And I said no bet. And I said no bet. I love you. You're a great bloke. You do some great stuff with Ben Fee. You do some great stuff. Listen here. 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 Listen here.
Listen here.
When they're galloping to the gates, there's only one place to bet. Top Sport, the home of horse racing. Whether you're a sprinter or a stayer or just a fashion-conscious player, go the distance with bigger bet limits and top odds on every race, every time. Download the app for a faster, easier betting experience. Top Sport. Feel the excitement.
Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Saltzy, it is time for the specs this week. Randwick, Mornington, we're going to be previewing, and we're going to cover the bulk of those two cards because, as I mentioned at the top of the show, it is a morbidly obese Salt Specs. Not Sultan, but Salt Specs. How can we expect Randwick to play this weekend, third week in a row at the track?
Yeah, there is a little bit of rain around late Friday, and then Saturday there's forecast between 4 and 20 mils morning and afternoon. So depending on how much of that hits and when it hits is obviously going to have an impact. If you're sort of having 10 mils during the day while the races are on, well, the track's going to chop out and it's going to have an effect and make it a much softer track than what it is rated now, which is a soft 5. So rail 7,000 winning post, so essentially 7 metres. I do expect sort of lanes 4 to 10 to be the sweet spot, the ledge off the fence.
Let's kick off in race number 2, mate, which is a class 3 highway over 1,400 metres. You like a couple here at double figure odds.
Yeah, I like one for the Dale Camp in the 11, Occhiata, and one for Gaynor Williams, the 17 Fletchlow, at a big price. The recent form of Occhiata is very good. She's a mare that's still relatively lightly raced. Won 3 of her last 4. New big PB last start as well. Ran fast time on a soft track and was still strong at the end of that fast race under 58.5 kilos. So soft track on the weekend, no issue. She can blend in behind the speed and have last crack. And Fletchlow was off space runs in the wet last start and was held up until around the 250. And once he got out at the 250, he then went on to produce the third fastest last 200-meter split of the day. It was running away through the line. That was on a soft 7 track over 1,400 metres off space runs as a $4.50 favourite. So
it's $34.
Yeah, he can keep improving. Yeah, big price. So happy to back both of those, and hopefully one of them can land at double figure odds. Well,
Matty Dale's Occhiata, number 11's double figures, $10, and Fletchlow, $34 for...
Be a nice way to start.
So I wouldn't put it past you. Hey, let's go to race 3 now, which is the James Carr Stakes. It's a group 3 for the 3-year-old fillies. It's run under set weights and penalties. Chris Waller's had a stranglehold on this with Star Thoroughbreds the last couple of years. Alentia and Espiona have won the race. PJ Bell's a key form reference here, but there's some Melbourne form with inhibitions as well, Saltzy.
Yeah, and I'm looking away from all of it to a Newcastle maiden.
As you do.
It's a wonder. Thrown in the deep end out of a maiden, but this girl is... done what I love to see, like what I referenced with Jolly Star last week. Good horses just continue to improve their ratings every time they step out onto the racetrack, and that's exactly what this filly has done. And last start off a gap between runs, you know, she went 19th of January to then start of April. She ran a new PB at Newcastle on a heavy 8 track, won by 3.5 lengths, sat off them, trucked up hands and heels riding, closed off the fastest sectionals of the day. She's going to get back here and need some luck. And she's got to cope with that stiff class rise. But I think she's got enough talent to do so. The rating she ran last night, it would be competitive even if she repeated it today. But I can see her going to another level.
Will you entertain her each way? She's $23, $5. Or will you just spec her to win? Because that's a huge price.
Yeah, at the moment, I've just backed her to win.
Okay. It's a wonder. Tyler Schiller in the saddle. It's a filly on the up there that Saltz likes, looking away from the key form references.
Race 4 on the program, it's the Group 3 Frank Packer Plates for 3-year-olds. It's at set weights over 2,000 metres. We've seen in the past sometimes there's some up-and-comers that come here. Sometimes there's some afterthoughts, dropping back in trip maybe out of a derby. And this year it's an open affair.
Yeah, well, it's going to be Frank Packer up, boys, if I win this one because I'm going wide here, Saltzy. I'm with number 2, Noisy Boy, at around $20. You can't say we're not tipping some big prices and value here in 2 units 40 because we're all over 20s at the moment. He finished second in the Tullock Stakes, 2 back, beating home Kintyre, Salt Coats and Weimark, who he meets here again at level weights and it's 4 times the price. It's touch flat on the quick back up in the Derby, drops back to 2,000. I would love to see the stable and Jay Ford here be positive from the wide draw.
The Falcon.
Yeah, he's won... leading and running away from them before at this track as well. So, yeah, he's mapped to go back, but I'd love to see him on the fit horse, 2,400 back to 2,000, be a speed influence. So $21, $5, the Noisy Boy, in race number 4, the Frank Packer-Up Boys Plate. Race 5, it's the Hallmark Stakes. It's another Group 3, set weights and penalties. You and I have landed on this one here. It's bloody front page news.
Oh, it'll be on the front page on Sunday, and I can already see the headline, Front Page Destroys Them at Randwick.
It'll be on the front page of the bloody Two Units Gazette on Sunday. You get the red hot tip.
Jeez, he looks a good bet, a north of even money. Mm-hmm. He loves Randwick. He absolutely adores Randwick. So he went around in the Group 1 Galaxy last out of handicap. He's unsuited at 1,100 metres. He's a 1,200-metre horse. Mm-hmm. He crossed them within 50 metres at 1,100-metre handicap sprint with speed galore drawn underneath. So from a low draw today at 1,200 metres in a race with no other map leader, he just leads them for absolute fun, and he's able to dictate. I love the fact he's a month between runs because you look, he's got better first-up form than second-up form.
That was the key for me.
Yeah, but also as well, like, you know, second-up in the spring of 22, he's just missed a placing. He's beaten a length and a half with 58.5 kilos down the Flemington straight behind Rockin' Horse at a Group 1. So that's, and it can be a little bit misleading. Sometimes he just hasn't found the right race second up. Well, he finds the right race this time. Even though he's up 3.5 kilos from the Galaxy, well, he's pretty well placed here with 56 kilos at set weights and penalties, given he's 104 rater. Tyler Schiller on, rides him well, goes to the front. Oh, I can't see him being caught.
I'm with you. Don't need to add anything more there on front page. That's race 5, number 7.
Like what's the Valana resumes gelded, but, you know, it's been a while since we've seen his best. Marzu's gone. Holyfield, Colino, Arf Cavins on the bloody. He's in.
He's good enough to win, but economy. He just completely mixes his, like, what is he?
Well, what's he doing? He's run two figures that could win the race, but they're looking to be like outliers. Yeah. Anyway, he goes. Just they're not going to see which way he goes after 100 metres.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir. Let's go to race 6 now, which is the Group 3 JRA Plate over 2,000 metres. Diamil won the race last year from Banker's Choice and Huetor, and the foot and the salts are going head to head here.
I'm back in the 6 New Energy, and you know, Diamil, Huetor, he won some Group 1s, but none of them have the form on the board that this guy has. You have a look at his European form. This is a horse that was runner-up in a Group 1 Irish Guineas to a horse by the name of Native Trail. Native Trail, at his subsequent start to that, placed in a Group 1 Coral Eclipse behind Verdini. And that ties in some of, you know, that horse is placed in Arc de Triomphe. That's like proper world-class form. Mm. So although it's been a while between drinks, he contested very strong races in Europe. His Australian debut, he hammered the line over 1,300 metres. And then he just got too far out of his ground in a George Ryder, but he did end up running the second fastest last 200 metres of the day. And past the post, he was mowing past a number of them. You don't see horses trial any better than his trial over 1,200 metres between runs. He's got a tricky barrier for James McDonald, and he did rate right down last up because he got too far back. And for that reason, I'm going to wait to back him a little bit later.
Think you'll get a better price?
Yeah, I think I might get a better price, but I couldn't care less if he drifts. I'd be happy to just take a price that he drifts to because I think he's a quality animal.
Don't worry or get caught up in the European form here because I am siding with the Albury Cup form in Faulkner Park. It was a dominant win in the Albury Cup. Got home, one of the fastest closing splits of the meeting over 2,000. Stays at the trip. Love the weight relief in this quality here. Drops 3 kilos off that. Soft run. Nice map. Tyler Schiller remains in the saddle. I think he's got another peak in him, Faulkner Park. So I'm going to be betting up on Faulkner Park in the JRA Plate.
Race 7, the Group 1 we're going to assess, the first Group 1 on the program we're going to have a look through. It's the Champagne Stakes, of course, over the mile for two-year-olds at set weight. Interesting contest. A node goes forward and keeps linebacker company up on speed. If the rain comes, he might be one that is going to be advantaged linebacker. Manal, of course, a brilliant win in the size on a heavy track, very strong late. She's racing very well, looking to go back-to-back Group 1s. You're looking around that, but a last start winner that went off as favourite at Randwick, and he's proven at the mile.
Yeah, and that's Broadsiding, who went up $7 and was just clearly over the odds. He's into about $4.50 now, which is probably the right price. He won the Fernhill last week. He's the only winner in the race at the mile, and for two-year-olds, that's I think that's a really key form factor to look at. So he showed a terrific turn of foot. One's clear to win. I don't think this setup's too dissimilar. A node and linebacker will set up the pace and he'll sit back and be able to demonstrate that electric turn of foot that we saw last week. So going up $7, I took some of that. But $4.50, I'm still happy to get involved. I think he's found his price though. Race number 8 is the second of the Group 1 salts. Just call me Group 1 footy here. It's the all-age stakes, the feature on the program. Weight for age 1,400 metres. I am with number 12, Southport Tycoon, the Oz Guineas winner. I feel like he's around $657. I almost feel like he's forgotten in this field. Like in terms of recency bias, I'm not sure what it is, but that win in the Oz Guineas was outstanding. And the form around it, you look behind subsequent Group 1 winners, V8, Riff Rocket. He drops now from 1,600 to 1,400 in what looks to be a strongly run race. So that's going to really suit. And those two Warwick Farm trials since have been absolute corkers. The one, the latest where he crossed the line under minimal riding was just outstanding. So Southport Tycoon, I reckon, is going super. I'm keen.
On with Espiona. I thought she should have won the TJ. She obviously needs luck and she didn't get any in the TJ and she can run in to some asses just like she did last up. But geez, her close was the fastest of the day. Past the post, she was just, she turned into a speck of sand. She got that far ahead of him after 150 metres. She was full of running. You reference that speed on. That's certainly going to help her. And 1,400 metres is her trip.
Mm.
When she won that Coolmore chasing down Prodigy over 1,500 metres that day, when I was on Prodigy at $34, well, that's starting to read pretty good. So no issue at the end of 1,400 metres, given that that's her pet trip. And
is that the only thing we know about her now, is that her pet trip's 1,400 metres? Because she's been a tough mare to work out. And, I mean, she's been frustrating to a degree. She still wins races, but finding her hard to trust. Like she's either with the flashing light run or she's finding trouble in a few of her recent starts. Like that win in the TJ was, the run in the TJ, you're going, well, you need to be winning this. She seems to find trouble. Yeah, now she's getting the best out of her though.
Yeah, but the last two times she raced at 1,400 metres, she's won. And outside of that, she's been racing over 1,000 and 1,200 metres and either running into bad luck or finding the trip too short. So look, she's not one of mine that I line up to back all the time, but I think she's getting to her right trip now and she's going to be absolutely storming home late.
I still can't believe they didn't go to the Newmarket.
Yeah, they should have. Yeah, they erred.
Anyway.
Yep.
Let's head to Mornington, mate, where we've got Cup Day there. Had a little bit of rain around in Melbourne, so the track presented as a 5 this morning, but what's your take and how are you going to play in terms of a pattern?
Yeah, perfect to get a couple of mil of rain sort of overnight, Thursday to Friday. That means they don't have to irrigate. It can naturally improve. It's cool weather Melbourne as well. So
let Mother Nature do a thing, yeah, Richie Bayless.
We might get to a 4 on the day. But the rail's true. The inside's been protected for a number of meetings, but since they did the renos a couple of years ago at Mornington, you know, before that, if you went rail out, back to true, you'd be setting up for an on-speed track. But the last couple with the exact same setup where they've protected the inside, then dropped the rail back to the true, the track's played really fairly. So I'd be expecting more of the same on the weekend.
Mm.
First race on the program is the Mornington size for the two-year-olds at set weights over 1,200 metres. One that I liked last start that didn't get the greatest.
I was with you.
Steer Perspiration comes up a short price favourite. I assessed him as probably too short, and it looks like you've done the same.
Spot on. I wanted to follow up with him wherever he sort of went next off that run where we were with him at Caulfield, sort of back 3 wide, not a lot of intent, and the race just got away from him. But I've sided with a filly in the field here, number 9, Irrefutably at double figures, and I think you can play her each way. Her debut win at Geelong over 11.40 was professional. She was the beneficiary of a strong tempo, hooked to the outside, produced the fastest last 400 metres of the meeting. I think she can go on with it and presents value at an each-way price Irrefutably. There's some interesting two-year-olds in the race, given it is off-season. The run of and the win of Brighella on debut. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. Come home 9 to their 1.
He didn't even know what he was there for. He stepped slow. It was so, you know, he's only going to appreciate getting up in trip. But I think we can find some value there.
It's a soft win at Geelong on debut.
Yeah.
It's a good win.
Yeah, yep. And drifted. It was notable drifter as well. So I'll take the $11. I think she's got a bit of ability. Race number two, mate, benchmark 70 over the mile. You're pretty keen on one here for the Hayes, and Hayes boys.
Yeah, I would have preferred a little bit more give in the ground for Morkeb, but she is also effective on good tracks as well, and I liked her return on a good track at Sandown. I'd argue she probably should have won the race. Jock just missed the opportunity to slide up in a three wide line when the tempo slackened. She ended up going and positioning herself too far back, but gee, she hit the line hard. Some of the fastest closing fractions of the day. It was a nice run first up off gapped runs with some nice jump outs between runs. And the last two races she's won has been at 1,600 metres. So she sets up nicely. Senior on 1,600 metres. And it doesn't really look the strongest race, really. I'd argue that the race that she tackled last out at the midweeks was probably stronger.
Yeah, I'm not convinced it's a strong race either. I'm just concerned with Morkeb around Mornington. She took a while. I know she said she probably missed the opportunity to slide up, but took a hell of a long time to wind up on the wide expanses of Sandown. I think there's one down here, number 9, Burlington Gate, who's got a little bit of upside. So into a second preparation, she's only at start number 6. She hit the line real hard first up in 64 grade, got going late. That was over 1,300 race fastest closing splits. Big drop in weight here, 3.5 kegs off that, draws 4. And I think this potential has far higher ceiling than a few of these other runners. So $10, $2.90. I'm playing Burlington Gate each way. Salts is with Morkeb at $3.20 on Top Sport. And that's how we're attacking race 2 head-to-head. But the head-to-head stop here, Salts, because we're going to race 4. And we're siding with an Annabelle Neesham runner here who we did see in the Golden Eagle and has some pretty tidy European form. Now present second up for Annabelle Neesham in Melbourne.
Yeah, and he's on trial. Galeron, we speak of the three. He's on trial beyond 1,600 metres. But considering first up as a gelding last start, at Flemington, he went straight to 1,600 metres. That says that the stable has an intent to get him over further, and they go straight to 2,000 metres. I think it'll suit him. That was the race Aaron Bay won. Braden Starr had his back in the run. Galeron dropped him. So I don't see how an argument for Braden Starr turning the tables suits, even though he could position a bit closer from a low draw. But he had all the favours that day, Aaron Bay, who meets Galeron a little worse off at the weights. But it's a different map this week. Holbein goes forward. Think and Fly's got some good speed as well. I can see Aaron Bay in the 1-1, and I can see Galeron 3-back 1-off following Aaron Bay everywhere he goes. And what I loved about his run at Flemington was he ran the fastest 8, 6, and 4 of the race, and then his last 200 was the third fastest. So first up, he's just peaked a little bit on his run late, fitness improvements to come, small field, 3-back 1-off. Has last crack at them, and I think you'll run out 2,000 metres.
Yep, with you. Won't add any more there. Race 4, number 3, Galeron for the units. Hey, let's head to race 5, benchmark 78, 1,200. Looked a bit of a minefield when I first started assessing this one, but you've found one in End Assembly here who has some pretty bloody good Queensland form around him, likes of Lady Laguna, Hawaii 5-0, Yellow Brick.
Yeah, that's top shelf form, and that was first up last preparation that he was beaten by Lady Laguna when he was up on speed in a race that set up for the Swoopers. So that's cracking form for a benchmark 78. There's a bit of whisper going around that Luke Nolan has said nothing leads this thing. It's that fast. And his jump out down the back.
Where are the whispers going?
I'm not divulging my sources, but there are whispers that Luke has said that. So that means they'll be taking this guy to the front. I was going to back him at Bendigo last week from barrier 15. Mm. So barrier 4 this week. They've been rewarded for saving him for another day. And his jump out down the back at Pakenham was an absolute corker. So although he's first up off a long spell, what about the form the stable are in? They're winning races left, right, centre and state to state everywhere. Black type, maidens, who gives a stuff. They're having a hot run. And I think End Assembly in the 5th can continue that hot run.
End Assembly with whispers. For Sultan.
Nothing leads this thing.
At $4. Nothing can get past it. It's very good, Salts. Just on that Moody Coleman stuff, 10 winners from their last 50 runners, 2 group 1s, group 2, group 3, and 2 at listed level from their last 50. They're absolutely flying.
That's
21%.
That's striking hot.
It's striking hot. Race number 6 is the Mornington Guineas for 3-year-olds. Set weights and penalties over the mile. What's going on here?
Well, who do you think the best horse in the race is?
Well, I'm siding with Rip Roar, yeah. Number five.
I think he's the best horse in the race.
Big time.
He's displayed it in terms of the figures he's run so far in his career to date. And yes, Grid Girl, she's screaming of a filly that wants to get to 1,600 metres. And she's a nice filly that's progressive. She needs to go to a new level if Rip Roar even holds what he did last start at Geelong. And if he improves on that, then he's going to be very hard to beat. He was $2.10 out to $2.60 on a heavy track. But the leader that day was ridden to beat him and get him out of his comfort zone. And he got through his gears nicely. One of the fastest last 600-meter splits of the day, one of the fastest last 200-meter splits of the day, and Damian Lane was very soft on him late. That was a heavy track, and now he's, you know, by this stage of the day, he's most likely going to be on a good track. But he's done it on all surfaces in the past. Harry Coffey's riding well. He's a horse that puts himself in races too. So with stylish Gangitano rolling across from a wide draw, Grid Girl probably sits on the back of the lead. Rip Roar sits in the 1-1 and has last crack at him.
That was the point I was going to make. I think Harry Coffey mapped out side her is going to be able to dictate to Blake McDougall on Grid Girl as well. So Rip Roar for me. And has a dominant second up win to his CV from back in New Zealand, which adds merit to this. So
Now I'm at the stage where I'm building a bit of a CV where I can look back on what's happened over the past years. Yeah, a lot of people are in the talking about what happened 20 years ago and I'll just zone out because I've got no idea. But if it happened like 5 years ago, I'll get involved.
Yeah.
I remember Mr. Quickie winning the Mornington Guineas from near on dead last at $2 and taking $2 and it giving me severe dopamine.
The old Saltzy's curriculum vitae just getting nice and stacked there. Mate, one of my better bets at Mornington, well, my best bet at Mornington comes up in race 7, number 3. See what I see? She's short, she's sweet, and I wanted to get her beat. I delved headfirst into this race going, I'm going to get See What I See beat, because she was a bit soft late in betting last start and still absolutely punished them. And she's 4 from 4 this preparation. She put a hole in them at Flemington, stays at the trip, maps to get a nice run behind the speed. She's going to lob in a very nice spot, Plum, probably 1-1 here. Very hard to beat, staying at the 2,000. See What I See, one of the better bets on the program, race 7. No spoil at $1.90, but we'll take some. Let's go to the Mornington Cup now, mate, where we're throwing around a few horses here. You got a 1-bet play, I got a 2-bet play in the listed handicap over 2,400 metres. How are you going to attack the race?
I like the different form line of Little Mix, a mare for the Annabelle Neesham camp, and she's going to need some luck drawn out, Jai McNeil in the saddle. But if that luck comes, she can be very strong late getting to 2,400 metres, because her run a couple back at Rose Hill over 1,900 metres, she hammered home, beaten under a length and a half behind Osmos, but had the race shape right again. She chewed up the ground. And then she's beaten under 2.5 Serpentine last start at Rose Hill over 2,000 metres. And she was wild without cover the entire trip.
She's going well.
Yeah, got left a little bit flat-footed, but really pokes her head out the last 50 metres. Her last 200 was actually the second fastest of the race, and considering the tough run she had, well, I thought there was a fair bit of merit to that. Now she's fifth up in distance. She's proven to run the trip in the past. You know, she's only gone down her nose, similar stage of her preparation to Stockman over 2,400 metres at the end of last preparation in December, so no issues with the trip for me. Just going to need some luck, but can have a bit of a nibble at a relatively nice price.
Yeah, $8, Top Sport, Little Mix, race 8, number 8. I've got a 2-bet play here, and I'm siding with the Easter Cup form, and but I'm not siding with the favourite of the race, which was First Immortal, or the subsequent winner of the race in Captain Envious. I'm actually siding with two runners that are both third up here. I'm speaking of Deny Knowledge and Future History, who you know what you're going to get with them. They're going to put themselves into the race. I thought Deny Knowledge was very good. She gets out to 2,400 metres. This is her chance at 2,400. And she's got form, spring form, like genuine spring form around Pride of Jenny and a Tissue before going on to win the Matriarch. So third up, she's going to be a speed influence. I think she's worth a bet at around 750. And then Future History, hit the class galloper. And look, many gave some hope, me included, to this runner down in the weights in a Melbourne Cup. Well, you come here in a Mornington Cup, third up, yeah, you got to carry more weight. But he's got a bit of class about him, and I've got to entertain him as a bet at close to double-figure price. So I'm going to even stake Deny Knowledge and Future History in the Mornington Cup, Sultan. Let's head on to race nine now, which is another one of the features there. It's the listed Hariba Stakes.
So cheap and good.
It is so cheap and good.
If you didn't say it, I was going
to
say
thank you, mate. Jigsaw's looking to go back-to-back in this race, and geez, there's plenty of speed engaged here. So it's Poland, Grand Impact, Jigsaw, Savannah Cloud, Starlight Scope, Mahaba's Drawn Yuck. How are you assessing it? Are you going to have a little two-bet play?
Yeah, spot on. You referenced that speed, and I want to back something to sit off them. I'm going to back the 5, Pintoff, and the 8, Nicolini Vito. Pintoff's a good horse.
Mm.
2 for 2 last preparation for Carly Cook. Now has his first run for Kieran Maher.
He's done the reverse English digital.
Yeah, he has, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He won 2 at 1,000 last preparation, so he's got to go first up 1,200 metres today, but he's actually got a terrific 1,200 metre record, and he's got a terrific first up record, and he is jumping out the house down at Cranbourne. Really pleasing jump out. He sits off them. John McNeil in the saddle. He has last crack, and he's up to these. He's a very good horse, and I still think that he can replicate some of his better runs that he's done in the past, first up for the new camp. And the other one I reference, Nicolini Vito, Dan Stackhouse in the saddle for the Hayes team. Going to get back. Loved his jump out recently at Flemington, circling them in a jump out that Osmar and Greg Alemo come through. It was a nice piece of work, and he's a fresh horse. He's a horse that can perform well fresh and will be strong late at the end of a fast run 1,200 metre race.
Yeah, I'm with you with Pintoff.
He's been well supported,
Pintoff. Went up $21.
$21?
Yeah.
Oh, I saw 12.
I don't think anyone got 21.
Yeah, I thought 12 was nice. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, when I did the form, it was 11. He's now into 7. He's getting pretty tight now, like at $7, Pintoff.
Yeah, I'd advise that you probably get better than that. Yeah.
So all the reasons for you, the jumping out well has to be a show of support or give you some real confidence going to the Mar stable.
Yeah, I think
as well.
So. They still feel like he's got a lot to offer.
Yeah, it's a strange move for a 7-year-old gelding to do that. Mm. Maybe they're setting him up for an Adelaide trip, I'm not sure, but definitely a good map horse here with the speed.
You're declaring him in the good wood.
I think so. I think get futures now. Pintoff. My main bet comes with number 11, Grand Impact. I took a big set against him first up after 17 months off the scene.
Are you backing him?
I'm backing him here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was against him first up. But, geez, I thought he was super. Like, in terms of what the camp said, they said to hold off. He paraded fat from all reports. His fitness.
He did enough.
His fitness just gave away in the final 150. And look, off that, that was a reasonable race. He had, you know, good informed horses like Extra 2, benchmark horses we're talking, Extra 2, even the likes of, what's the horse's name? Baldinho, who's a good benchmark horse. So there was a little bit there, but yeah, I think down to 54 kilos, dropping 7 kilos in the weights, second up. Doesn't have to lead. Can probably sit 1-1. I think they will push to lead. He's got great gate speed, but no need to get caught up in a ridiculous speed battle. So Grand Impact for me, getting a good price now around $5, I reckon. So Saltz and I are both playing Pintoff. Then Saltz is playing Nicolino Vito at a bit of a double-figure price, fresh horse, and I'm also playing Grand Impact second up. So a few angles there in the listed Hariba Stakes in race number 9. Let's get to the final race on the program, race 10, benchmark 84, 1,600 metres. And, geez, Aaron Purcell's got dashing going around here who, in terms of I had a pretty significant place multi, this horse anchoring that and ran one of the sickest fourths you'll ever see second up.
How did he miss it? Nah. I just don't think he liked being in darting back in between runners, but he ran well.
Mm.
He's ready to peak dashing third up, 1,600 metres where he's proven. He'll go forward for Sharon and Clark, takes 3 kilos off. He should lead these. And
4-star hotel.
Yeah, he's been able to lead effectively in the past. He actually led in the Mornington Guineas last year and just went a little bit too slow and had a bit more to offer before then going to 1,800 metres. So 1600 meters, no query for him. This is the race at Mornington where I'm the most bullish about. I'm really confident that I get a result from one of these two, the four Dashing or the two Gregor Limo.
He lets himself down a bit, Gregor Limo.
Yeah, but now he's in his second Australian prep.
I love that.
Yep.
Remember when he tried to get tickets to the Birdcage on Oaks Day?
Yeah, he tried to bite someone. He tried to get a Red Bull and a packet of chips.
Yeah, he didn't. He only had 1540 on him, though.
They tinkered around with some gear. They put the earmuffs on in last prep. I love that they're off today, first up. His jump out, I referenced he jumped out with Nicolini Vito and Osmar. Well, they're fast, effective horses. Osmar's a fit speed, so he was having a mid-prep jump out to contest some black top again in Adelaide. And he was climbing all over a hillside. I thought it was a cracker of a jump out. Mm-hmm. And he follows Dashing everywhere it goes. I'm very, very keen one of those two win. I'll be backing them both. I'll be having a little Quinella as well. Look, Frigid racing well, third up, John Leake Jr. Had every chance last start, 1600 metres. Needs to go to a new level if she's to match the peaks that Dashing has run in the past. So I want to see
her go to 2000.
Yeah.
She was good at Caulfield 2000.
Yeah, I suspect that she drifts, and I think Gregor Limo and Dashing are going to be the two money horses late.
Yep, well, $6 about Gregor Limo, $3.20 about Dashing. Unit. Our unit of the week time, and this week we've got Will, who has signed off on email. He calls himself the plant-based punter, Salts. What do you reckon that entails, being the plant-based punter?
Oh, I don't know. You just eat falafel and back winners.
He signed off on his email as hashtag eat plants, not deductions. And this is what Will's got in his eggplant salad for us today.
Hey, units. Thanks for having me on, and thanks to Top Sport. Let's get that bread for Racing Hearts. I'm going to head south to Mornington Race 4 over the 2,000 metres. Sunsets here looks terrific value. It's rock hard fit. Peach Meech goes on. Can't draw a barrier, but there's only 9 runners this time, so should be able to cross and hopefully lob into the 1-1. The form around Riff Rocket in the spring, including a win over said horse at this distance, is what's really drawn me in. So let's get it home, Meechy, and hopefully catch you all next week.
What are your thoughts on that, Salts? You had some facial expressions throughout that.
Bit of Bernard Fanning sunsets.
Watching the sunset.
Well, you know, it's consolation if Galeron doesn't win, if money goes into the coffers for Racing Hearts.
It's a good point. It's the unit saver.
Yeah. I'll be pulling its tail though.
No doubt. Best bets time from around Australia. Mine's pretty straightforward. It's Randwick Race 5, number 7, front page, goes to the front and gets on the front page of the Two Units Gazette.
Yeah, he's my best of the weekend. He's my biggest stake of the weekend. You go to the front, they won't see which way he went. And my best at Mornington, those two in the last, one of those two will win, Dashing or Gregor Limo.
Yeah, my best at Mornington's Race 7, number 3, see what I see. Mate, Friday edition, it's been good fun.
Yeah, nice one.
All the best.
Have you had lunch?
No, do you want to get something?
Yeah, I have banh mi's on Friday. I have banh mi Friday.
Okay, I can entertain a banh mi. Nice. I've got two choices just close to the studio.
I'll cop the tip.
All right, well, we might leave our listeners with this and we'll send it out. Have a good weekend, everyone.
I wouldn't let you pick up my pen. Bonkers.
I wake up every day is a daydream. Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep.